thing. We started unpacking the language of belief in this extraordinary time. We started talking about our calling as the people of God, as in this Pentecost season we know from our biblical stories about it. People began to speak to the world around them in languages that others could understand. People began to speak to the world around them in ways that connected with others, and maybe for the first time, maybe shared a notion of faith and belief and spiritual life that hadn't occurred or hadn't been trained or educated into folks. It was an opportunity to share with them the goodness and the blessing that we have received at the hand of God. And this entire Pentecost season, this long green season on our church calendar, is devoted to that. It's devoted to the people of God living out what we have learned, what has been revealed to us in the gospel, and sharing that in ways that touch ground in the lives of other people. And that's not an easy calling. That is not an easy road by any stretch in a world that is just fraught with communication and noise and din and complexity and busyness. It's very hard to get the attention of folks long enough to share something with them that would be so good for them. But that's our calling, and so we do it. So we started unpacking these words of belief, this language of belief. And we start with faith, logically, and we started with a good biblical definition of it. You remember what that was? The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's the definition that Scripture gives us of what faith is. It's as close to a Webster's as we're going to get in the Bible. All of the rest of the biblical teaching about faith, pretty much, is by example. Isn't that interesting? It's through story, through anecdote, through parable. It's taught and told in ways that reflect its lived nature. And we heard that ultimately human challenge last week. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. The challenge of faith and doubt, the challenge not of faithlessness, but the challenge of faith and doubt in the midst of the world. Will there ever be enough? Will there ever be peace? Will there ever be safety and security? Will there ever be a decent place for everyone to live? Challenges our faith. Sometimes the problems seem insurmountable. We've had it in our face over the last 24 hours how violent and conflicted this world can be. Is our faith strong enough? Is our faith sufficient to carry us in times like this, to strengthen us and bolster us and continue us in this high calling of sharing God's grace? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Then Jesus took us deeper. He expressed faith in ways that were not just tenets of belief, that were not just an affirmation of a code or a creed, but that faith was a living, vital, kinetic thing. Faith is something we do, not just have. Faith is a living, breathing, kinetic force, a way of being. And we heard that marvelous phrase from Luther's preface to the Epistle to Rome. Oh, it is a living, busy, mighty thing, this faith. Such a powerful appreciation of the workingness of faith in the world. The literal kinetic work that it does. And Jesus is still taking us deeper. And he does it in his teaching today with these astounding, maybe confounding things that he has to say about it. In our gospel reading today, faith the size of a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Whoa. That's power. It's an incredible power, isn't it? It's a cosmic power. It's geophysical power that he's talking about. Say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will be done. Really? Do we live our lives according to a faith like that? I have to say, this kind of stuff drags me over the rocks and has for a long time. In my journey, in my discovery, in my engagement with God's revelation in Christ. When he says things like this, I take it personally. And I start to think, you know, Is my faith strong enough? Why isn't my faith stronger? Could I move mountains? Could I throw a mountain into the sea? Despite, I have to admit, the total absurdity of this in my experience of the world. And over time, I've realized a couple things. One, my faith is strong, but it's simple. And faith is far simpler than we may overcomplicate it sometimes. I realized that my faith was strong. It was my religiousness that was getting in the way. And then second, Jesus isn't talking about throwing mountains into the sea. He's talking about something far more powerful than that. If to understand this, we need to know a little bit about mustard, and we need to know a little bit about the way Jesus teaches. Elsewhere in the gospel, he uses this same analogy, but he's not talking about faith, he's talking about, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable will we use for it? And here he is casting about in his own experience for a teaching, a story. And we've talked many times before about Jesus as an inveterate storyteller. He realizes the power of story to communicate deep truth and to communicate lots of information and to connect vitally with people's lived experience. He knows that story is far more powerful than dictate, then lecture. It's like a mustard seed, he says. This is the kingdom of God he's talking about. Which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs. And puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade. Jesus employs daily lived experience. Mustard is prevalent and common in the lives of people of his time. The vegetable parts of it are eaten, much like other vegetables in this same family of plants, turnips, cabbage, broccoli. Mustard is common, it's all over the place. Another thing about it is it requires no cultivation. Like Jesus describes in the story, you just throw it out on the ground. You throw it in the garden, you throw it in the pasture, you throw it on the path. Talks a lot about throwing seeds on the path, right? Mustard has a way of just taking hold and rooting and growing. It's a very aggressive little plant. And it grows into a very large, aggressive plant. There are mustard plants in the Jordan River Valley that top 10 feet and more. All from these little bitty seeds. And Jesus is reflecting on this in the lives of the people that he's talking to. They know this. They deal with this all the time. This is a really common analogy for them. Well, what should we compare the kingdom of heaven to? What should we compare it? What parable shall we tell about it? Well, let's tell one that's right smack dab center in the lives of the people we want to communicate with. Very interesting idea about what it is to share faith with someone. Kingdom of God, he's talking about. Mustard requires no cultivation. It's the smallest seed in the array that's available to the people of his time, and yet it produces the largest plant going. Mustard plants in the Jordan River Valley and in the Levant are larger than most of the trees that are there. The nature of the plant. So the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. The other thing we need to connect with is the way in which Jesus teaches and the things that he says, the extreme language that he uses. And he uses extreme language a lot. He talks in scandalous ways at times that really confront people, that really challenge their sense of being and doing, their status quo about life. So when he uses extreme examples like this, he comes by it honestly, and he finds it to be a really effective way of getting the attention of people, but not only that, of evoking imagination. Because when we start to think about something as small as a mustard seed, our bulletin cover image, pulling a mountain out of the ground and throwing it somewhere else, That's a pretty compelling image. And yes, I do believe that he is not talking about throwing mountains in the ocean. But I do believe that he's communicating something really profound about the least bit of faith that we can hold to and the power that it has for life, not just for us, but for the world around us. That little bit of faith that sustains us at times when nothing else is gonna. When we confront things that are so overwhelming and so deeply injurious, so traumatic, there's something that we have to hold to, and that's the faithfulness of God. And we don't make near enough of that in Scripture. There are endless scriptures about us and our faith, what it is to be faithful and what it is to be faithless and all of that, all from our perspective. And very little, and not nearly enough, is made of the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. We have entered into covenant relationships as a species with God for as long as we've been stomping on the tundra. And we have pretty much fallen short in most all of them at one time or another. God never has. The testaments of Scripture are, if anything, a marvelous testament to God's faithfulness. This one who is with us still, who never abandons, who never relinquishes, who never separates us from that goodness and love that is God. God's faithfulness is a strength for us in the worst possible times. When faith confronts the impossible with possibility. It confronts the impossibility of what we've been seeing in the news over the last 24 hours, over the last week, over the last number of years. As gun violence in this country continues to claim thousands upon thousands of lives per year. Let's just take that. And almost the sheer impossibility of dealing with that. What are we going to do? Something has to change. Because we can't allow this continual reign of death in the greatest country that has ever been. I think something has to change. And faith is the thing that confronts the sheer impossibility of that challenge with the possible. Yes, we can do this with the will, with the courage, with the wisdom that flows to us from the source of all things in life, the very God who gives us life. Faith sustains and guides, raises our eyes to the horizon. Faith has the power to lift us up from the resignation to what is, to the promise of what can be. That's faith. And that's the power of faith in the midst of life. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Does solving some of the challenges that confront us, not only in this country, but around the world, seem like trying to throw a mountain in the ocean? It can feel that way. And yet Jesus talks about the power of faith in the one who is love and justice and goodness. To lift our eyes up again and say, yes, this too is something that we can confront and defeat in the interest of bringing about peace. Through faith, we enter into the realm of the miraculous. Not the supernatural, but the truly miraculous in the lives and cultures and conflicts and challenges around us in the world. Luther said this. He said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. Living, daring, confident. He says, so sure and certain that a man, forgive the pronoun references, a man would stake his life 1 in 1,000 times, a woman would stake her life, her well-being, and that of her family 1,000 times on the power that faith has to make things right, to bring about the justice, the correction, the things that we know we need to do. All of this in his preface to Romans, and the letter from Romans is where we read from today in our New Testament reading. To believers in Rome, Paul writes, whom he's not yet visited, a community he didn't found, and yet is the talk of the known world among the circles in which Paul seeks to run. People at the ground zero of the empire, Rome itself, seeking to live as Christ, seeking to be a faith community in the midst of that context, is astounding in and of itself. The challenges, the danger, the threats and the violence, the ostracism and rejection, the things that they would experience for just seeking to be the people whom God is calling them to be, would lay at their feet, is astounding. And Paul marvels at it. He says to them, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. Their faithful living in the midst of all of this has become a story for the rest of the growing world of believers around the Mediterranean. What about those people in Rome? Look what they're up against and look what they're doing. Paul says, your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. I long to visit you so that we may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Hear that. Faith is not just a personal thing that you either measure up or you don't. Faith is a communal thing. It's a blessing that's shared. And your faith bolsters mine and mine, hopefully yours. At the times when we need it the most, Paul wants to go there because he knows the power of spiritual community to build up and to strengthen faith. And finally, he says, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. It's our very believing that opens us up to the possibilities that God is talking about. And it is that believing and embracing those possibilities that strengthens and engenders even more faith in us. This is part of that God economy thing. The more you give away, the more you have. This doesn't operate in financial economic terms. This operates in God's economic terms. And it is by giving that you receive. And it is in sharing that you yourself are blessed up, blessed and built up. Amen? This is how God's world works. So when we find somebody talking about faith as small as a mustard seed moving mountains, maybe we can connect with that in a little different way. And not let our religiousness, like mine, get in the way, but the pragmatics, the simplicity, and the profoundness of this faith that is a gift from God. Amen?